Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said,
te seporra kasi kabaria tasomura kasi. Oh, praise you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for letting me get on, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I just praise your name. I magnify your name. I uplift your name. I say hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Greater is he that is in me that is in the world. Thank you, Father God. I praise you, Father, for this day. I thank you for this moment. I praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Good evening, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Oh, Satan is busy. Satan is busy. He is roaming like a lion to and fro, seeing who he can defile. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy what God is trying to do in us. I see it as I talk to my peers, and I talk to the elders, and I talk to those who are in the ministry. The challenges are coming. He's turning up the heat. But we still got the victory. We still got the victory. We will not give in. We will not give up. We will not give out. We're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, thank you for holding on those who are listening, because Satan was trying to be busy to stop me. He's trying to stop me, but I'm not going to give up. I'm truly going to keep fighting the good fight of faith, because I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. And we don't quit. We don't give in. We don't give out. We are that we overcome in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you right now for your ability, Father God, to show us every day that you have never left us or forsake us. You are there, Father God, when it looks bad. You are there when it looks good. You are there, Father God, when life tests us in every shape, form, or fashion. You were even there with Job, despite all that was happening to him. You were still there, Father God. I am not ever going to give up on you, Father God. I thank you right now, Father, that you continue to work through me, Father God. Yes, I asked the question, was that, who shall I send? I raised my hand and I said, send me. I know that this vessel is not always lined up perfectly the way you want, but Father God, I know, as Paul said, I'm working towards the mark of perfection. I'm staying in the race, and I thank you, Father God, that the victory, the battle has already been won. Father God, for those who are on the line who are struggling right now, Father God, with the challenges of Satan coming at them. I know this because I heard this years ago. He say, Satan don't go after them he already got. He go after those that's trying to leave. But I thank you right now, Father God, that we're leaving. We're turning our back on him, Father God. We're moving to be that new creation you created us. I thank you, Father God, that every day you're creating us a clean heart and renewing the right spirit in us. Every day, Father God, we're being transformed from the conformities of this world. I thank you, Father God. I pray for everyone who's in the battle. Father God, armor them up, Father God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the shoes of peace. Put on the sword of spirit and get ready to soldier up. Hallelujah, Father God. I thank you for the victory, Father. Whatever they're praying for, Father God, Jesus told us to have faith in you that we can say unto the mountains, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in our heart, but believe these things when we pray shall come to pass. Therefore, whatever we ask when we pray, believe that we receive, and we stand in, Father God, giving of those, Father God, that we may have some unforgiveness again. So nothing will impede our flow, our prayer to you, Father God. Right now, I'm praying over everyone, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that their return would be up to 40, 60, 80, 100-fold return because their prayers are being answered and because they've been planted to your hand, to your garden, Father God, that never returns what it always produced the harvest. So I thank you, Father God. If they need healing, I thank you for the healing from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. If they need financial peace, Father God, the windows of heaven blessed will pour blessing upon them. They wouldn't have room enough to contain it, Father God. If they need joy, I know that you can give joy that's unspeakable, that makes us, Father, lose our words, Father, because it's so rewarding. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, give them peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank you, Father God. Oh, yes, we in the battle, but we ain't going to quit. We ain't going to give out, and we ain't going to give in. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me decrease and you increase, that the mighty power of God's word will flow. They are not just hearing my voice, but they hear the power, the dunamis power that comes from the word of you. I thank you, Father God. It is life unto those who find it, those who have ears to hear, and medicine to all their flesh. I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, yes, Satan is testing us. He is testing to and fro, but I'm just not going to give in today. I'm not going to give in today. I'm not going to give in today. Hallelujah. He tells us, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears that I sing. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of our heart. For it is life. It is life. It is life unto us as we find it, and medicine to all our flesh, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and his life comes with abundance. We can't give in. We can't give out. We can't give up. We have to keep pressing on towards the mark of perfection. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let me just go through a few quotes here. Get out of your head and into your heart. You know the secrets reside in your heart. We have to make sure that we keep those secrets so when they arrive, when they're needed to rise up, they will come flowing like living water in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith is the most powerful of all forces operating humanity. And when you hide it in the depths of your heart, you can move mountains of thoughts into the sea. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. At some points, you have to realize that some people can stay in your heart, but not in your life. We got to get rid of stinking thinking. We got to get rid of those who are around us who bring us down. And I say get rid of them. Just step away from them. You may could come back at another time. But if you're in an environment where people got the stinking thinking, they're pulling you down, they're bringing you down, they're dragging you around, you got to step aside. It may hurt your heart, but you got to step aside. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Allow yourself to experience what it is to learn step by step the freedom that comes from being unattached to the outcome, but operating from the empowered heart. God empowers us through the heart. God empowers us. Everything we have, everything we do, everything is presented to us. God either allows it or he makes it happen. We have to trust him. We have to trust to remember, leaning not to our own understanding. Hallelujah. And it's not what we get, but who we become, what we contribute that gives meaning to our lives. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. It gives meaning to our lives. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us as always, trust in Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. This is what gets us in trouble. Too many times we lean to our own understanding, and our trust in God gets dwarfed. We got to turn that around. We got to put all our trust in God because he's the one that's going to be the difference that make a difference in our life. He says this, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Hallelujah. And then he says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, what is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. See, again, we got to get rid of the stinking thinking. We got to get rid of this negativity. We got to get rid of this lack of faith thinking. We got to remove it. We got to work at it. We got to strive to achieve the level that God intended us to achieve, which is to be able to potentially do all that Jesus said we could do. Because he said, greater works will you do than him. So we got to change the way we think. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How do we get there? The scripture tells us in James 5:8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. We have to strive. I was telling someone today, I'm either hot or cold. Either I'm burning up or I'm cold. So I strive hard in this walk to be on the hot side, to be on fire for God. Sometimes, you know, you can get tested. But I tell you, when I get tested, I just turn up the heat myself so I can get closer to what God intended me to do. Oh, it's a test because the flesh always wages war with the spirit. But I realize I can't use a fleshly weapon to fight spiritual battles. I need that spiritual weaponry. Doesn't the word tell us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God? And it tells us we got to bring all thoughts and imagination to the obedience of Christ. So we have to change the way we perceive the world and act in the world, because now we realize that we're not of the world anymore. We're in it, but we're not of it. I have a few little jokes here I want to tell. I thought they were cute. Hallelujah. So a math teacher says that if I have three bottles in one hand and two bottles in another, what do I have? The student says a drinking problem. They see. And then there was another story I like, and it says the dog for sale, a talking dog for sale. A guy spots a sign outside the house that read, talking dogs for sale. Intrigued, he walks in. So what have you done with your life? He asked the dog. And the dog said, I led a full life. I lived in the Alps rescuing avalanche victims. Then I served my country in Iraq. And now I'm spending my days reading to the residents at the retirement home. The guy was flabbergasted. He asked the dog owner, why on earth would you want to get rid of such an incredible dog like this? The owner looked at him with a smile saying, because he's a liar. He never done any of that. And then the last one is, where's the bathroom? The doctor says, Larry, everything looks good. How are you doing mentally and emotionally? Are you at peace with God? Larry replied, God and I are tight. He knows I have poor eyesight, so he fixes so when I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, poof, the light goes on. And when I'm done, poof, the light goes off. Wow, that's incredible, said the doctor. A little later in the day, the doctor calls Larry's wife. He says, Bonnie, Larry is doing fine. But I had to call you because I'm in awe of his relationship with God. Is it true that when he gets up during the night and poof, the light goes on in the bathroom, and when he's done, poof, the light goes off? And she looked with a smile, and she looked at him and said, oh, no, exclaimed Bonnie. He's peeing in the refrigerator. We can see that even our youth development of thought from various situations can determine how we can make decisions for the future. We can see that our imagination has a strong influence on how we present ourselves to the world. We can see how our belief system, aligned with our thoughts, can affect our behavior in certain manners. What does this mean? It shows us that we can be conditioned to think, believe, and act according to how the world has always attempted to lead us in the flesh and not in the spirit. This is why we must guard our mind and our heart to ensure that we must lean not to our own understanding, but lean on God to guide and direct us so that we may have the mind and heart of Christ. This leads me right into my show. Last week, I had kind of had another show going about the power of prayer. We're going to piggyback on that next week because the Holy Spirit led me in this direction this week. Are we operating by the power of God's creation or being governed by man's conditioning in our heart and mind? As I study God's word and listen to many people, as they present their perspective about people, conduct, and attitude from an earlier biblical time, my spirit goes on into questioning, well, what lens are we looking from when it comes to what we are supposed to gain from God's word and what we are putting in our mind and heart that would allow us to truly receive, learn, and develop to be disciples of Jesus Christ? I can't say or recall reading in the 66 books, but I'm here really relying on the Holy Spirit that Jesus was looking from the lens of the world as he developed and prepared himself for his assignment. I don't believe he spent much time in judgment to criticize others. No, I believe Jesus spent his time attempting to gain the knowledge needed to make the possible in order that he would honor his Heavenly Father. I believe he spent his time gaining understanding in order that he understood not just the information on the surface as he read the scribes and what have you, but that which would give him a deeper and meaningful understanding in order that he could help those he served and better comprehend the meaning of servitude and gratitude. Jesus was teaching us about servitude and gratitude, but he was gathering. I was listening to Joyce Myers the other day, and she brought up a good point. She said, we cannot downplay experience. Jesus understood that, too, as he sat with the leaders, the spiritual leaders at that time, and he would listen to them, and he would dialogue with them, and he would gather this knowledge and wisdom and understanding because they had knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, just if nothing else from life experience, and he didn't downplay it. See, Joyce would say that if the youth, who are now the most gifted and talented of all the generations to come, could connect with those who are, I like to call them seasoned years, and they would combine the two together, the seasoned people would be willing to pass it back to the youthful people, and the youthful people be willing to listen to the seasoned people. They too could gain the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, as Jesus understood this himself, the importance of taking this knowledge to move forward so they too could move towards their mission. I believe that Jesus in his preparation gained wisdom that would allow him to be at what he saw or heard from man, but to be more proactive to write and divide the word of truth through the Holy Spirit, who would give him the ability of discernment that would not allow his flesh to be ruled by the world's view, but the Holy Spirit who would govern his body, mind, and soul. Jesus proved that on and on and on throughout the scriptures. You see, scripture tells us, again, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Jesus didn't hesitate to do that. And lean not to his own understanding. In all his ways he acknowledged him, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to direct his path, even though he was God made in the flesh. As the famous gospel group, the Winers, would say, the question is, do we operate by the power of God's creation? For he is the creator of all, or do we operate by man's conditioning, for the most part, has governed our hearts and minds throughout the course of our earlier years?
I would imagine for many, whether Christian or not, many would say, I'm in control of my thoughts, my imagination, my heart, and my life. Truly a fact. Are we truly operating the way God intended us for us to do and to be? You see, the scripture in Genesis 1:27 tells us, so God created man in his image. In his image, God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, the greatest reward in this scripture is that God created us in his own image, not another God's image, but his image, which says that we were so valuable to him that nothing is equal to the importance he sees in us. When you see sometimes that you want to have an image of yourself or create an image of yourself, like a father to a son, you desire that he or she would become the greatest representation of you. Therefore, you will provide that child all he or she needs to represent your image in a positive light as they go into the world. I can imagine when God sent Jesus to the world, he had full confidence that Jesus would represent him well. Jesus even understood this when he had a conversation with Philip, and he says out of John 14:9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Then John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. You see, what we're seeing here is that image that needed to represent God himself was an identical image. He says that they were one. There was no separation here. When one would see Jesus, you would see the Father. Then in John 17:23, this takes it to another level. It says, I and them. That would be the he and us. And he said, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. God loved us so much as he created us to be in his own image. But Jesus himself told us and gave confirmation to this. There's an image we're supposed to be representing. But again, are we operating out of God's initial creation and what he intended, or we continue to operate under the conditioning of the world? We can see that Jesus didn't waver in his belief or presentation when it came to being the true image of his Father in heaven. Yes, the sad thing about us as human, like the prodigal son, we sometimes go astray. You see, Ephesians 2 says, in which you once took this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Like Peter, we get into our own denial, if you will. So we have let the ruler of the air, prior to our salvation, condition us to operate out of worldly conditions, not from God's intentional creation, for which Jesus never let the world conditional rule his internal stability of what his Father originally had him to be and to do. But somewhere along the line, we missed the mark. Hallelujah. Remember, that when we say I and them and thou and me, that we know that Jesus not wavered in any form or fashion when it came to what his Father wanted him to do. Jesus allowed God to remain in him, maintain the unity that would not only make them complete, but also allow him to be governed by him. However, we went astray. We move away from the source of God. Thus, through the world that Jesus Christ was born into nearly 2,000 years ago was a world of complete captivity and manifested that sees the nature of all mankind. You see, the scripture tells us in 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, the death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Once the prince of the air got into man, it would take the one who knew no sin to redeem us from the penalty of sin. You see, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursing everyone who has hung on the pole. Then Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sin to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. The present date, as we're seeing all the things in the world manifesting, wars and rumors of wars, we're seeing disobedience in families, we're seeing division in families, we're seeing people just not even caring about the existence of life. We're seeing men, lovers of men, and women, lovers of women. We're seeing all the things that are manifesting. But it ain't time. It ain't time. It's just the beginning. But in this, we can see the disobedience continue. We can see that the prince of the air is controlling. And I heard someone say in one of the sermons that Satan is controlling the media, if you will. And he who controls the media controls the world. And we can see that. I mean, again, everything now is manifesting to entertain us in a worldly way. And we as Christians, and I say this with boldness, we as Christians are kind of falling into those traps because it's comfortable, it's convenient, it's non-threatening. It doesn't make us rock the boat. But we got to strive towards that mark of perfection that Paul talks about. We have to move towards the spiritual maturity. We have to move towards allowing our mind to operate on what God gave us when he told Paul to tell Timothy that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. When he gave us that power, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And that is what Jesus used to operate in the power of his Father. Therefore, he can make the sound decisions that would not allow him to be compromised. But as long as we allow our mind to be governed by the previous conditions or to even go back to the previous conditions, we set ourselves up for failure. And therefore, we get caught up. We get caught up. There once was a time when the TV screen was 8 inches. Now you can get them almost to 60, 80, 100 inches wide. And people get engulfed. And what are we feeding our mind? We cannot be as effective if we allow our ear gates, our eyes, and mind to take in all the things that Satan used to deceive us, to redirect us, to distract us, to cause us to fall short. And many people wonder why they struggle with anxiety, depression. What are you allowing to get into your mind? What are you looking at? I get it. I get it. Because if I allow my mind to take 2 seconds to entertain any thought, even in prayer, Satan has the ability to drift me away. And I say, hey, God, pull me back. Holy Spirit, pull me back. It don't take much because, again, as I was telling someone, if you have 18,250 days of negativity in your body that resides in your body, in your heart, in your mind, I heard someone say on a show yesterday that it takes 37 days to break a habit and 60 to build a new. I don't know. But I know that the reality of it, that it's very difficult to shake off the old man, especially if you keep feeding it the same old food. So we got to change our diet. We got to change our intake. The scripture tells us in April 9:15, for this reason Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. We can see that Jesus continued to conduct himself by the will of God. Even more, he did it out of love, which is always willing to protect, always willing to give us hope, allowing us to develop trust, and always preserve the Father's image for eternity if we come from under the curse of the conditioning of man and follow the Creator and his intention that he created. We have to come from under that umbrella. It's a choice. You know, I often say this, and I've said it many times, and again, I hold this myself accountable to this. I don't do mistakes. And people say, well, I made a mistake. We make mistakes. I don't do mistakes. The only mistake I do, and that means that it's truly unintentional, as I said, if I got my cup on the table and I turn around and knock it over, that's a mistake. I didn't know. But for the most part, most of us know right or wrong. Even if you didn't want to follow the Ten Commandments, but literally you know right or wrong. A dog know when they do wrong. And I've yet to see any dog go to anybody's university and get them a PhD. A baby know when they do wrong. They get a certain look. So we know wrong. So this is about decision making. This is about holding ourselves accountable. A man should examine himself, holding ourselves accountable. That even if we make that poor decision like Peter, see, I love the story because I cannot imagine that when they were sitting at the table and Jesus looked at Peter and said, you would deny me, and he went into a narrative. He said, this is what you're going to do. And he didn't say you're going to do it one time. You're going to do it three times. Now, usually if you get three strikes, you're out in baseball. So you would think that Peter would walk away and he would tell himself, I ain't going to make that decision. And he can't call it a mistake because he was aware. He said, and he even got defensive and said, oh, no. He went back and forth with Jesus, I would imagine. We got to look, like I say, the trailer to the movie, the little clip. But I'm sure they had maybe a longer dialogue. So he would leave with that confidence, and he even tried to validate it when they came to get Jesus. He chopped the ear off the Romans. So he was ready, but then placed in a certain situation, a certain condition, which happens to all of us. Yours may not be mine, and mine may not be yours. See, I always say everybody's waiting different, because some people talk about, oh, I won't do this and do that, but remember. Remember, we've been conditioned, and we have to change the conditioning. But Peter didn't change the condition fully. It was only till he got the Holy Spirit that empowered him. So now he wasn't using his fleshly weaponry, which we saw with the sword. He began to use the weaponry of the Spirit in order that he could be able to be more effective in his decision-making ability, that his mind could be transformed from the conformities of the world to the power of God's word. Hallelujah. So what does this intention look like? Or what was man's, what was the design for man in the intro? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, man's purpose was to exercise dominion over all creation. In God's image, Adam and his wife will rule over the earth. They were to reproduce, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I would imagine not just the physical aspect of having children and multiply, but to duplicate what God had put in them, which was good. Which was good. And again, here's another point. They were told. I know they were told because Eve turned around and said, back to Satan, who was also new, what God had told him. So this is the same if you fast forward to us. We know, many of us know God's word, or we're learning and developing, and some of it ain't rocket science. Pretty straightforward. But somewhere along the line, we've been conditioned. And just like anybody, I used to be a master fitness trainer for the United States Army. And they would send me to various units to help, if you will, transform those overweight soldiers into fit fighting machines. And so many of them would say, I want to look, I'm just going to make this name up, I want to look like The Rock. But they look like Humpty Dumpty. And I would say, you know, you can look like The Rock, but it's going to take time. It didn't take 30 minutes for you to get to this size. It didn't take 3 weeks for you to get to this size. It didn't take 30 days. So you have to be realistic about your expectation. But if you're willing to do the work, faith without works is dead, right? So if you're willing to do the work, you can be transformed. This is what we understand. And so when we look at Adam and Eve, they had the knowledge. And again, most people that get overweight, using that as an example, and I'm not making a judgment, they have the knowledge. Dick Gregory went on a fast. And I never forget this because I learned something from that. I didn't understand fully because I was a kid when he did it. But I learned something. If you don't eat, you sure can't get fat. That's a reality. It ain't rocket science. That's what I say. Everything ain't rocket science. But let me move forward. So it says every planetary was provided for their food. I would even go as to say it was provided for the spiritual food. See, in Genesis 1, it portrayed the big picture, the role of Adam and Eve were to play in a relationship to the entire creation. And in Genesis 2, it narrows the focus to the garden of Eve. Adam was placed in the garden to cultivate and keep it. When you cultivate something, you are maintaining, you're prepping it, you're getting it right. And then you maintain it by keeping it. For God didn't provide an ordinary orchard. God had planted various trees in the garden to provide for man's needs. All the trees shared the common characteristics of being pleasing to the sight and good for food. Trees in the center of the garden would provide either life or the knowledge of good and evil. When we choose Jesus, he says, I give you abundant life. When we choose Jesus, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word tells us when we read his word, we get life. What kind of diet are we using as spiritual food? Again, we cannot use a fleshly weaponry to battle spiritual issues. You see, our God is a reasonable God. He gave us free will and the power of choice, but we know sometimes when you have too many choices, take a kid into a candy shop, see how he acts. Where we are not governed by the Holy Spirit, our decision-making ability can't be compromised because we lean to our own understanding, which at times can do us more harm than good. We see that. Take a kid to a candy shop, and you can see that kid is probably going to get sick. Too many choices. But that's the power of free will. A child has the power of free will. And as the word tells us, we should be childlike in some areas. I understand the bigger picture because lately I've been saying this to myself because I can see sometimes I slip back into childish ways. But I come back. See, this is why we got to put the scripture in it. Study to show thyself approved, the right to divide the word of truth. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted as a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became an adult, some people are gender conscious. When I became adult, I put off childish ways. Today we have to keep telling ourselves that. At least this is what I think is working. Because when I find myself slipping, I go as if my son one time was me and was in a situation, and he looked at me and with boldness, and he said, Dad, I expected you to do the adult thing. But see, I went back as a child trying to be a people pleaser and allow him to do something I thought that he could handle. And when the situation happened, he couldn't. But he came back to me and looked at me and said, hey, you the adult. You get your grip together. And you know, and I looked at him with the same boldness and said, you know what, you right. That won't happen no more. And from that point on, that is our little saying when he starts to get caught up in his world. I say, hey, I'm doing the adult thing. And we can cool out whatever differences we have. See, I must say, I was wondering where the Holy Spirit was taking me with this message, but as it progressed along, the question returned to me, are we operated by the power of God's creation, or are we governed by man's conditioning in our heart and mind? This is the question you must ask yourself. Because you've been conditioned, and I like to use, I was doing this on another Bible study, and I said, you see, the condition of the world is like poison in a goblet. It's sitting there. Oh, you can visualize it in red wine, but it's poison. And God's word is the endless running water of purity. But no matter what, unless God himself magically makes it disappear, they're going to merge. And that merger, if you watch this, and I've played this out, if you watch this, it don't just happen in a split second. It takes a moment. And even as it goes to flowing out, the poison wine flows out, it still has the merger of the two. Some of the purity even going out. But as long as that purity keeps flowing, that pure water keeps flowing, it seems to dominate over the poison, and then you see it gets diluted. And then at some point, it becomes pure, purified water. I could be missing it. I don't think we're going to get there living in this body. But I think that is the conclusion, that when we're absent from the body and present with the Lord, that we'll be that purified water. But in the meantime, while we walk this earth, we can continue to run in that purified water into this vessel that once was conditioned with the world, so we can get as close to what God intended us to be when he created us as his creation, his image bearer, so that we can be all he intended us to be. Now, I personally think we must be reasonable with ourselves as well, because we were born into sin. And then we were conditioned from generation to generation to give sin value that it didn't deserve. But Satan, being the author of lies and deception, created an illusion that he had a better mousetrap. But in truth, it was only to trap the prey like a lion who's walking to and fro, seeing who can devour. However, Jesus was not one to be governed by the deception of the trap that Satan showed him, an illusion that could sway him away from God, from the creator of the creation. You see, Satan was created by God. Jesus understood. You can't. You are not the originator. You're just an illusion. So in some ways, he tried to create an image too. And whatever it may be, because he makes it appeasing to the flesh, is back in the garden, it's a sight, it looked good. He creates it, and that's why the media has so much power, by sight or by the music. We can see people who are sitting in the nursing home, and they don't even move. Turn on some music. They got the beat, as they used to say back in the day, we called devil music. It got the beat. It'll make them tap their feet. See, Satan know what he's doing. But check this out. Jesus in the wilderness. You've heard the story quite a few times. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. People around are fasting right now. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." I like talking about Jesus' temptation, because that lets me know that because he was in the flesh, Satan even thought he could get a hold of him. And he came, if you will, with worldly weaponry to pull Jesus away, if you will. Appeal to the flesh. How I know it's to the flesh, because he said, turn these stones into bread. Why would the Spirit need bread? But he wanted to appeal to them. Then Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You got either fleshly weaponry or spiritual weaponry. Jesus came back with the spiritual weaponry. Hallelujah. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "And if you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written," he know himself what the words say. See, we all know what the words say. "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hand so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." We're talking about suicide. Satan said, "Well, let me just get right to the point. Let me see if I can get to knock him out. Just knock him out the box through death." But Jesus said to him, "It is written." See, this is why he says in the scripture, "Attend to my words, incline thy ears that I say. Let them not depart from thy eyes, and keep them in the midst of thy heart, for it is life unto us to find it, and that's to all our flesh." Yes, it is written. It's there for us to read. We're the blessed generation because we don't have people stopping us from reading the word. And Jesus said, "It's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, they took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, their splendor. And he said, "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan. For it is written," he even concluded, "it is written, the Lord your God, and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels attended him. If we recognize where we're at and then look at how we're conditioned, we can too be like Jesus and say to the deceiver, "It is written." We can use the weaponry that God gave us and not the weaponry of the world. And even though Satan created the illusion, Jesus knew he was the creator because God created him. Jesus knew who the creator was because God created him. Jesus knew that if he fell for Satan's lies and deception, all that he was supposed to do would defeat his true purpose, and we too would be lost. Again, the question is asked, are we operating by the power of God's creation or being governed by man's conditioning in our heart and our mind? This is a relevant question because if we truly are going to be representation for Christ, be true image bearers in order that we can say with a resounding confidence, yes, that we are operating under the power of God's creation and his will and desire for the plan he has for our life, we need to do a few things, which we will pick up, we will pick up next session as the Holy Spirit leads me to and realign me with the initial power of prayer, the whole armor, and the renewing of mind and creating us that clean heart. I see the Holy Spirit tying it all in because prayer is so important. And I think sometimes we take it for granted that we get lost. We don't look at the value of it. But it had to be truly important because Jesus did it all the time. He did it privately. He did it collectively. He did it all the time. Because, again, it's an effective way of communicating with God. So we have to take that pause for the call. And for those who say, I don't know how to pray, that's okay. You didn't know how to drive, you know. This is something I used to say when I used to go to school to talk to the kids. And I would say there were many people that would say they can't do this and they can't do that, or they're afraid, or they can't do this, can't accomplish that. And I would say something I learned as I watch young people learning how to drive. The most shyest human being, unless there's some disorder going on, they would get under that wheel and they would take the browbeating of their parents or the browbeating of the instructor. And I'm not saying to no major abuse way, but they would put up with that because they had one thing they wanted in their mind. They wanted them licensed. They wanted that independence. They wanted that control so they could drive. If we had that same mentality that no matter what we got to go through, we want to be able to drive in the driver's seat of God's word and be victorious, we will do whatever it takes. We won't give in. We won't give out. We won't quit. So in all ways, there's a soldier perspective I like to share. Changing our attitude and let God take us to a higher altitude. You see, this one truly is a challenge. One, it's a challenge for one to stay in the race and maintain it. I've heard that even many people of faith and leadership have gotten out of the ministry because the race seemed impossible to maintain. However, like a marathon runner who experienced the high when they first start off in the race, their energy is high, their motivation is strong, their preparation seems to be all worth the sacrifice. But as they press on in the race, their legs get tired, their muscles get cramped, and they begin to feel the ache. Their lungs get filled with a burning sensation. Their heart rate moves and increases and causes a certain level of stress. However, no matter how painful it becomes or the stress increases, they press on to obtain the prize of the higher calling until they finish the race. We too can press on for it's not the challenge that breaks one down. It's the wrong attitude that causes us to look down and feel down. When allowing God to transform us through the power of the Holy Spirit, as he did with Jesus, our body becomes alive with the dunamis power that the scripture tells us in Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken or make your body alive, your mortal body, by the spirit that now dwells in you. The scripture tells us, great is he that's in us that's in the world. This is not an easy walk. This is not an easy walk. And every time I look around, it seems that it becomes more and more of a task to stay in the race. But I've never quit anything I start. Whether I get embarrassed, whether I get put down, whether I get rejected, or whether I walk it alone, when I start it, I'm going to finish it. I've been in my PA's program 8 years. I'm looking at the finish line now, and I've had people say, oh, you ain't in that program. Oh, you ain't doing nothing. And simultaneously, I'm working on another master. This is not for boasting. This is the fact about staying in the race. I don't quit. I take my time. I do what I got to do. And sometimes I get a little distracted, but I don't quit. I can see the things on the road in the race that divert my attention sometimes, but I stay in the race. And it's challenging. But I know this race here, being in a race for Christ, being in a race for God, being in a race where the Holy Spirit empowers me to go forward, it's worth all the sacrifice. As the man said, this is the golden opportunity. It's worth all the struggle, all the pain to stay in the race. But we got to change our attitude. We got to change our perspective. We have to ask this serious question. Are we operating by the power of God's creation or being governed by man's conditioning and our heart and our mind? However, as we close out, for those who have not accepted Christ as the personal Lord and Savior, who think that this is not worth his weight in gold, I would tell you, and I've had a taste of life, as Joyce Meyer said, who soon be 79, what I thought was important when I was 30 is not the same as 60, soon to be 64. Things start to make sense. Things start to come together. And I always think about David, the shepherd boy, who was probably out there and said, this don't make sense. I mean, watching these sheep and these lions and bears coming at me and my dad ain't nowhere to be found. I'm just a kid. But he stayed to task. He stayed to purpose. And one day he would become king. We've been given the opportunity to be joint heirs. So if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the ABCs, as I heard a young lady say, you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You believe in your heart he died for your sins. You confess with your mouth. Let it be a bold declaration to the world that you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Let the old man be pushed to the side. Let the new man come in and begin to walk in the newness of Christ. Yes, I'm not pushing fear. I don't get into fear. I get into faith, full assurance into heaven. Yes, it'll be a struggle, but I've never seen anybody who's received a harvest that didn't plant a seed and that they didn't cultivate. They didn't do the hard work. That's what a farmer really do. He do the hard work because he know when harvest time comes, there's a reward. And he tells us not to cast away our confidence because it has great recompense of reward. So this walk is worth its weight in gold. And once you begin to really walk in it, your attitude will get like Christ. You will recognize you didn't come here to be served, but to serve. To serve. This is a blessed walk. Hallelujah. So as I close out, for those who are looking to actually get into the ministry and God has called you and you may want to tap in, you can either write in to kingdombuilderdevelopplaza@gmail.com and let your quest or desires be known. And someone will pick it up in order that to get back with you and begin your faith walk, if you will. And if you just got saved, you definitely want to tap in because, again, no great athlete has ever won a Super Bowl or won a championship without getting prepped. You have to train. As we say, train as you fight, fight as you train. And then you can contact the office if you're one of those old school like myself who prefer to call somebody. You could dial the 313-583-9739. And if you could sow into the ministry, whatever you may have to give, because every time you plant a seed, there is definitely going to be a return. May not be the way you planted it, where you planted it, but who knows, when a farmer throws the seeds out, he don't see everywhere that it dropped into the soil, but sooner or later there's a harvest. You're given to the ministry so we can push this further. We can go into the ends of the world because that is only when Jesus is going to return, when everybody's given the golden opportunity to receive Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. So we ask you to give to www.giveify.com, GiveLify.com. I'll say it again. www.giveLify.com. The home office is 313-583-9739. And you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. As always, I know Satan is always busy trying to distract us. Had a little challenges coming up, but I thank you for your kindness and patience. Again, bear with me. Sometimes I get excited. I might speed up on the rate of my voice, but that's because I'm a soldier. And sometimes we got to get it out there. But at any rate, thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. And, again, this is still iron sharper than iron. Every time I get to do this, I learn a little more. I begin to grow. And as always, in pardon, you pray for me, I'm going to pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous thing God will do in our life. But again, he'll never leave you or forsake you. Why? Because of Emmanuel. He is always with us. God bless you.
In your presence, Lord.